May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I said earlier to the children that the resurrection that we celebrate today is not so much a happy ending as a new beginning. And I want us to reflect on that for a few moments now. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of something big. It's because of the resurrection that Jesus' disciples believe in him and have a new message to proclaim. They preach passionately about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and this is how the church is born. It's because of the resurrection that we are here in St. Ursula's this morning. If the story of Jesus were simply the story of an inspiring man who taught us to love one another and who ended up dying a painful and cruel death, we wouldn't be here in church this morning. In fact, there would be no church at all. The existence of the church and of the Christian faith itself stems from a belief in the resurrection. It's because the early disciples and Christians down the centuries have believed that Jesus is risen and that Jesus is alive amongst us, that the Christian faith has grown and spread throughout the world to many different places and cultures. As Peter realizes in our reading from Acts, the risen Christ is Lord of all and calls people of every nation through him. So when we say Christ is risen, we are joining with millions of Christians all across our world, past and present. So what do we mean when we say Christ is risen? How did those first disciples understand the resurrection? Well, they didn't think of the resurrection as just a spiritual idea or a principle of new life and hope. They didn't just believe that Jesus' spirit somehow lived on. They believed in Jesus' bodily resurrection. Now, perhaps we may think, well, they were naive and uneducated, and it was easy for them to believe such things. We are sophisticated and intelligent and beyond such beliefs. But I don't think it was any easier for them to believe in the resurrection from someone from the dead than it is for us. But the testimony of early Christians, the apostles and the epistles, is that Jesus appeared in bodily form to many people, individuals like Mary, to small groups of people, like the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, to Peter and John and the other disciples, but also to bigger groups of people. Paul in 1 Corinthians speaks of Jesus appearing to 500 people at one time. Now, certainly there was an element of faith in all this. Jesus didn't appear to everyone. Perhaps we might wish that he had appeared to Pilate and Herod and the chief priests to prove to them that they were wrong. It would make our job a lot easier. But in our reading from Acts, we're told that Jesus appeared not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Indeed, there are several stories of the risen Jesus eating and drinking with his disciples. He also encouraged Thomas to touch his wounds. Jesus, it seems, had a risen body, though there was clearly something mysterious about it. It was both the same and different. He could eat and drink, but he could also appear and disappear through closed doors. He was both recognized and not recognized by his disciples. We heard in our gospel reading that Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him at first. She thought he was a gardener. She recognized him when he called her by name. The first disciples certainly weren't just saying that Jesus lived on in the memories of his followers. The disciples were convinced that Jesus came among them in his resurrected body. And this was clearly not a resuscitated body, but a different, transformed, resurrected body. Something big And something completely new had happened, and it convinced the disciples that this man truly was the Son of God. Now, of course, the skeptic will say that the first disciples were mistaken. Maybe they were hallucinating, or perhaps they made up this story about the resurrection to comfort themselves over the loss of their master, to continue to give them a sense of purpose. But many of these same first Christians were thrown to wild animals in arenas rather than deny their faith in the risen Jesus. It's very difficult to believe they were willing to die such deaths for a made-up story. They were completely convinced that Jesus was risen and alive. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of something big, and that's what we celebrate today. The whole landscape has changed. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, our second reading, says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died. The fact that Jesus is risen doesn't only give birth to the church, but it also gives us ourselves a new hope of life, even in the face of the reality of death. Because Jesus is risen, we can be confident that death is not the end and that we too will be raised to new life. Death, that last enemy, is destroyed, says Paul. We can have assurance, hope, and peace despite our natural fear of death. Now, this is not at all to deny that death is not a reality or to pretend that it doesn't really matter. Neither are we offered pie in the sky when you die or some kind of continued ghostly presence after our death. The Christian faith speaks of the promise of a new risen life, a new spiritual body, not an aging, sick and frail body, fullness of life in God's presence forever, the fulfillment of all that is good and best in us and in our world. Indeed, the resurrection is about more than just new life for us as human beings. Paul speaks in Romans of the whole creation being restored, and the book of Revelation holds out the vision of a new heavens and a new earth. But it's not all about the future. The belief in the resurrection can give us a new perspective here and now. Creative, suffering love is in the end stronger than bitterness, violence, and hatred. And this is surely something that we have to hold on to in the midst of a world of so much violence and destruction, which we hear more and more of day by day. And as we are remembering, especially those people affected by the explosion in churches and hotels in Sri Lanka just this morning. The resurrection of Jesus promises that everything will be transfigured in God's grace. Even our failures, our frailties, our pains, and our sufferings can be transformed. Trusting in that transforming, life-giving grace can affect not only our attitude to death, but our attitudes and actions now, in the sometimes difficult and fearful present. Yes, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of something big, but it's also the beginning of something personal. We heard in our gospel reading the personal encounter between the risen Jesus and Mary Magdalene. She knew nothing then about the bigger picture. All she knew was that the man she most loved in the world, who had been tragically killed and taken from her, was suddenly there, right in front of her. Her whole world was transformed in an instant. In the midst of her grief and loss, her desperate weeping and hopelessness, she hears one word, Mary, and all is changed for her. Her life has a new beginning. She is personally addressed by the risen Lord, who, as the good shepherd, knows each of his sheep by name. So on this Easter day, as we celebrate the enormity of the new beginning brought about by Jesus' resurrection, may each one of us hear the personal call of the risen Jesus, speaking tenderly our own name. in the midst of whatever griefs and sorrows we carry, in the midst of all that weighs us down or deadens us or makes us feel hopeless, in the face of illness, death, or loss, the risen Jesus comes to meet us. In him, there is a new relationship with the Father, new life and love, and new possibilities now and in the world to come. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.